This is Dave, returning with the News Gazette for Sunday, December 27th, 2020. We'll continue now with death notices on page A6. Jane Klein, Danville. Jane Klein, 95, of Danville, died Friday, December 25th, 2020, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services in Tilton. Stephen Dye, Gifford. Stephen Dye, 64, of Gifford, passed away at 1:56 a.m. on Christmas Day 2020 at OSF Heart of Mary Hospital, Urbana. The family will hold a celebration of life at a later date. The family entrusted Lux Memorial Chapel in Rantoul with cremation rites. Elmer Fox. Elmer W. Fox, 97, of Mahomet, went into the loving arms of Jesus on Sunday, December 20th, 2020. There will be a private graveside service with Pastor Jimmy Cook and Pastor Mike Roberts, Elmer's son-in-laws, officiating. Blair's Owens Funeral Home, Mahomet, is assisting. Condolences may be offered at owensfuneralhomes.com. June A. Gadbury, Bement. June A. Gadbury, 68, of Bement, passed away at 1:29 p.m. Wednesday, December 23, 2020, at Garl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Due to a COVID-19 pandemic, the family is graciously abiding by the suggestions set forth. Graveside services will be at 2 p.m. Wednesday, December 30, 2020, at Bement Township Cemetery. Pat Thielman will officiate. Memorial contributions can be made to the Champaign County Humane Society. Please visit our website at heinzfuneralhome.com to offer condolences. Rebecca Healy, Homer Glen. Rebecca S. Healy, 73, of Homer Glen, passed away September 16, 2020. It was Rebecca's wish to not have funeral services. Burial will be private to the family. Please share your condolences and memories of Rebecca by visiting everloved.com. John Lewis Harriet, Hoopston. John Lewis Harriet, 51, of Hoopston, passed away at 3:02 a.m. Wednesday, December 23, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Per his wishes, cremation rites will be accorded. A graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, January 7, 2021, at Gunday Cemetery in rural Bismarck. Memorials may be made to John's family. Please visit andersonfuneralhome.com to view John's eternal tribute page and to send the family condolences. Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston is handling arrangements. Oscar Hicks, Tolono. Oscar Hicks, 93, former Unity High School Tolono teacher, coach, and principal, passed away Thursday, December 24th, 2020, at his daughter's home in Tolono. Graveside services will be held 11 a.m. Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, at Bailey Memorial Cemetery in Tolono, with the Reverend Mike Pennell officiating. Freeze Funeral Home, Tolono, is assisting with arrangements. Memorials may be made to Oscar Hicks Scholarship, care of Unity High School. Joe W. Jones, Urbana. Joe W. Boogie Jones, 66, of Urbana, died at 8:39 a.m. November 18th at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Private funeral services will be at noon Tuesday at Grove Street Church of God in Christ, 501 East Grove Street, Champaign. CDC regulations will be enforced. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon Tuesday at the church. Perry's Twin City Mortuary Service at 110 West Vine Street in Champaign is handling arrangements. Lula M. Jones, Urbana. Lula M. Jones, 83, of Urbana, died at 7:58 a.m. November 10th, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Memorial services will be at noon Tuesday at Grove Street Church of God in Christ, 501 East Grove Street, Champaign. CDC regulations will be enforced. Perry's Twin City Mortuary Service is handling arrangements. Elizabeth Klein, Champaign. Elizabeth May Klein, 87, passed away Saturday, December 19th, 2020, after a sudden illness. Elizabeth will be remembered in a private ceremony on December 29th, attended by immediate family. Memorial donations are suggested to the American Heart Association, heart.org. Online condolences can be shared with family at morganmemorialhome.com. Rosemary Liggett, Tuscola. Rosemary Liggett, 80, of Champaign, formerly of Greenup, died at 6:30 a.m. Monday, December 21st, at Tuscola Healthcare in Tuscola. A public graveside service will be at 2:45 p.m. Monday at Riverside Cemetery in Mahomet, Renner Wyckoff Chapel and Crematory, 1900 South Philo Road, Urbana, is handling arrangements. Joanne Lovelace Meyer, Rantoul. Joanne Lovelace Meyer, 64, of Rantoul, peacefully passed away Thursday, December 24th, 2020, surrounded by loved ones. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Brandon McGill, Arthur. Brandon B. McGill, 27, of Arthur, formerly of Ottawa, died Sunday, December 20th at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the family for the creation of an educational award in B's name. Condolences to the family may be offered at hillgrossschraderfuneralhome.com. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, December 29th, 2020, at Schrader Funeral Home in Arthur. A mass, celebration, and dinner will be held in the near future in Ottawa, when COVID-19 restrictions are eased. Clyde McRae, Gibson City. Clyde McRae, 78, of Gibson City, passed away at 5:50 p.m. Wednesday, December 23rd, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services for Clyde will be held at noon Tuesday, December 29th, 2020, at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to noon, the day of the service. Burial will be in Drummer Township Cemetery, Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to First Christian Church in Gibson City or Gibson Area Hospital. Memories and condolences may be shared with the family at rosenbaumfh.com. John Rasmussen, St. Joseph. John Rasmussen, 79, of St. Joseph, formerly of Ogden, died at 7:20 p.m. Friday, December 25th, at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Free's Funeral Home, 302 East Grand Avenue, St. Joseph. Alberta Stone, Mansfield. Alberta L. Stone, 85, of Mansfield, passed away Monday, December 21st, 2020. A graveside service will be held Saturday, January 2nd, at 10 a.m. in Grandview Memorial Gardens, Champaign. Memorial donations may be made to Mansfield United Methodist Church or Mansfield Food Pantry, Martha's Cupboard. Calvert Belangi Bruce Funeral Home is in charge. Lynn Noss, Arcola. Lynn Noss, 66, of O'Fallon, Missouri, formerly of Arcola, died at 1:30 p.m. Friday, December 25th, at her home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Schrader Funeral Home at 204 North Locust Street in Arcola. Sophia Lasaris, Savoy. Sophia Lasaris, 91, died Friday, December 25th, at her daughter's home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Morgan Memorial Home, 1304 Regency Drive, West Savoy. Rose Marie Wallace, Pinellas Park, Florida. Rose Marie Wallace passed away on Friday, December 18th, at the age of 82. Services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, December 28th, at First Christian Church of Seminole, Seminole, Florida. Another memorial service will be held in Danville at a later date. Gloria Widener, Oregon, Wisconsin. Gloria Audrey Widener, 90, of Oregon, Wisconsin, formerly of Perrysburg, Ohio, and White Heath, passed away Monday, December 21st. Services for Gloria will be private. She will be buried in Fort Meigs Cemetery, Perrysburg, in the spring, with a celebration of Gloria's life at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made in Gloria's name to Zor Lutheran Church at 314 East Indiana Avenue, Perrysburg, Ohio, 43551. Condolences may be made to the family online at walkerfuneralhomes.com. Martin Whited, Cayuga, Indiana. Martin Truman Whited, 92, of Cayuga, Indiana, died at 8:41 a.m. Central Standard Time, Thursday, December 10th, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Continuing with local news, Champaign Police titled Man Arrested for Allegedly Threatening Woman with Gun by Mary Shank, Urbana. A Champaign man, free on bond for allegedly battering a woman in May, was arrested again Friday for allegedly threatening her with a gun. Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher said Tomeo Walton, 44, who last lived on Cambridge Drive, was at the woman's Champaign home about 10:30 p.m. Friday, visiting her and a child, even though that was a violation of his bond in the earlier domestic battery case. Fletcher said Walton was intoxicated, became threatening toward the woman and child, and allegedly pulled a gun and told her she deserved to die. He left the house in her car, and police stopped it, finding a 9mm pistol, Fletcher said. A passenger in the car corroborated what the woman had told police. because of a number of prior convictions, including possession of a stolen vehicle, manufacture or delivery of a controlled substance, and driving under the influence, Walton is not allowed to possess a weapon. Walton is expected to be charged Monday with aggravated unlawful use of weapons by a felon and aggravated assault. Because of his record, he is not eligible for probation if convicted, Fletcher said. Judge John Kennedy set his bond at $75,000 Saturday and ordered him to wear a GPS monitor if he's released from jail. And another article from South Champaign titled Christmas Night House Fire Leaves Residents Displaced by Mary Shank, Champaign. Residents of a home heavily damaged by fire on Christmas night will have to find somewhere else to live for a while. Firefighters could see flames coming out of the roof of a home in the 1400 block of Harrington Drive when they pulled up just after 9 p.m. Friday. Fire department spokesman Randy Smith said the two occupants smelled smoke and were calling for help as neighbors were coming to alert them. Firefighters found flames in the attic and on the second floor and quickly doused them. Smith said a fire in the fireplace earlier in the evening appeared to have been the cause. There were no injuries to residents or firefighters. And the next article, video calls titled Alleged Threats Involving Shotgun Result in Champaign Man's Arrest, again by Mary Shank, Urbana. A Champaign man who allegedly spent a good part of Christmas Eve arguing with and threatening a girlfriend is expected to be criminally charged on Monday. Raymond Dickerson, 42, who listed an address in the 1100 block of Frank Drive, allegedly made several video calls over 11 hours on Thursday to a woman during which he threatened her, according to Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher. The woman reported the threats to Champaign police, who could see Dickerson with a shotgun on at least one of the videos. He had threatened to kill himself and the woman, Fletcher said. Police went to his home with a warrant and found a shotgun and shells for it. Dickerson was arrested about 10 p.m. Thursday and appeared in court Saturday, where Judge John Kennedy set his bond at $75,000 and ordered him to be fitted with a GPS device if he is released. With prior convictions for aggravated driving under the influence, domestic battery, and driving under revocation, Dickerson is not allowed to possess a weapon. He's expected to be charged with unlawful possession of weapon by a felon and aggravated assault, Fletcher said. And continuing from the sports section, college basketball, number 18, Illinois, 69, Indiana, 60. What happened? Saturday's game was a slog at times, a throwback to the Big Ten of old in a season that's seen the conference known for its grit and grind, physicality, churn out some offensive juggernauts. Illinois still found a way to win, namely because of another second-half takeover by Ayo Dosunmu. What it means. The more ways teams can find to win in the Big Ten, the better. Illinois has now shown it can win in a shootout and on a day when offensive efficiency takes a hit. Most importantly, though, a 3-1 start in league play means the Illini remain near the top of the early conference standings. What's next? Practices on Christmas Eve and Christmas, plus a game immediately after the holiday, means Illinois will take its mandated 3 days off starting Sunday. Preparation for the next game won't suffer. The Illini aren't set to play again until 5 p.m. next Saturday when they host Purdue. What was said? It was just evident it was Big Ten basketball. We've had so many battles against them that it was like a heavyweight collision. The first possessions, you know what they're running. They know what we're running. It was a true definition of a Big Ten game. He's the man. Game story. Illini guard closes out another Big Ten win by Scott Ritchie. Champaign. It's not a surprise anymore. Hasn't been for some time. Io DeSumo is going to have the ball in his hands if Illinois is hunting for a win. Brad Underwood called a timeout with just more than 10 minutes remaining in Saturday's game against Indiana. Georgie Bashanashvili had just hit a three-pointer to cut the Hoosiers' lead to 2 points. Underwood wanted to remind his team how they had to complete the comeback and win. Rebounding and defense was the message the Illinois coach loudly got across in a mostly empty State Farm Center. Underwood had one last item to say to DeSumo as the Illini exited the timeout huddle. It was a plain directive. Be the best player on the court, Underwood told his, well, best player. Do what you do. So DeSumo did. He knocked down 4 3-pointers and scored 18 points during the final 10 minutes to help number 18 Illinois pick up another Big Ten win with a 69-60 victory against Indiana. It was part of a game-high 30 points for DeSumo, as the Illini, 7-3 overall, 3-1 in the Big Ten, fended off the Hoosiers, who were 5-4 overall and 0-2 in the Big Ten. Closers close, Underwood said. Really good players, it doesn't matter what goes on the first 28 to 30 minutes of the game. When the game's on the line, guys make plays and make shots. I've said it many times. Io is the best guard in the country, and he proved that again Saturday. You can double him. You can do whatever. He's going to make the right pass. He's going to make the right play. Give him a crease, and he's going to make a layup or make free throws when he gets fouled. DeSumo understands that's his role. The junior guard and preseason All-American also doesn't get worked up if he's not the primary offensive option to start games. He actually doesn't mind if it's the reverse. DeSumo has said multiple times this season he likes to ease himself into the game, patterning his style after pros like LeBron James and Luka Doncic. He's not out to hunt shots immediately. Setting up his teammates early is more than okay. DeSumo also knows when it's time to tap into that next gear offensively, when he needs to become the number one option and take control. When it's time to put the other team away, I come in and just try to do that, DeSumo said. Coach Underwood told me to be the best player in the country and finish the game off. I accepted his challenge. I made the shots I work on in the gym every day. DeSumo also pointed to his film study in preparation for Indiana in making it easier offensively down the stretch for the Illini. He noticed watching video of the Hoosiers how they reacted to ball screen situations late in games and used that against them Saturday. I knew when the game gets long, their tendencies started to get lazy, DeSumo said. I just wanted to attack on that, pretty much knowing the scouting report. It was at this point in the post-game press conference that Illinois sophomore center Kofi Cockburn interrupted his teammate, just like DeSumo had done a few minutes earlier. He knows he can take over whenever he feels like it, Cockburn said. Nobody can guard him. It's that simple. Nobody can guard him. He knows whenever he feels like it, he can take over. That's it. He's trying to be a nice guy. Underwood knew what type of competitor he was getting when he recruited DeSumo out of Morgan Park. That DeSumo would turn into the closer he's been the last two seasons, though, came through growth and adversity. Underwood made a point Saturday to mention DeSumo's performance against Ohio State in Chicago during his freshman year. Hard to forget 9 missed layups during a 10-point Buckeye victory in DeSumo's hometown. Instead of that bothering him, that dude never flinched, Underwood said. His mindset is so tough, it was, okay, I had a bad game, how do I get better? It's unique when you've coached a Michael Beasley, or you've coached a Bill Walker, or you've coached a Jawan Evans or a Thomas Walkup. That's what those guys do. To say you ever get tired of seeing it, you don't. That turned a real average first 24 minutes, 26 minutes, 28 minutes, in my opinion, into what was a terrific game because he does what he does. DeSumo has leaned on the belief his teammates and coaches have in him to make those plays. He's also leaned on his experience. It's my third year, so I know pretty well where to get to my spots at, DeSumo said. I know where I can score at. If we need a basket, if I need a basket, I know how to get to my spot and do that and help the team win. When it's time to win the game, when it's time to go home, I have that instinct where I'm like, all right, these next three possessions, I'm going to make the right play. And analysis. Grades are in, breaking down Illinois, Indiana. Player of the game, Illinois guard Ayo Dosunmu. How many different ways are there to say Dosunmu is playing like the preseason All-American he was designated? Maybe just the one, but 1 month into the season, the conversation has to turn to Dosunmu also finding himself a lead candidate for National Player of the Year. Seriously. He proved why he's one of the best players in the country against the Hoosiers, finishing with a game-high 30 points on 11 of 17 shooting, including a 4 of 5 mark from beyond the mark, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, and a whole bunch of gumption late when Illinois needed it. Backcourt, Illinois A-, Indiana B. In the battle of Ayo versus Armand, the Illini prevailed. Indiana sophomore guard Armin Franklin kept up his own hot streak and led the Hoosiers with 23 points, but it wasn't enough. The overall backcourt balance trended slightly more in Illinois' direction, with Trent Frazier's defense and some more three-pointers from Damonte Williams tipping the scales. In the front court, Illinois gets an A, Indiana a C. The other position battle, perhaps the one that drew more pregame attention, was Illinois center Kofi Cockburn against Indiana forward Trace Jackson Davis. Cockburn had another double-double, his sixth in 10 games, with 15 points and 15 rebounds, with some help from Georgi Bashanashvili. Jackson Davis was limited to 11 points on 13 shots. On the bench, Illinois B-, Indiana C. It was a fairly typical showing for the Illini. Andre Curbelo provided a spark and change of pace offensively, and Bezanashvili brought the energy and just enough production in 18 solid minutes. The Hoosiers went deeper in their rotation, but received limited production from all five reserves that got on the court. Overall, Illinois A-, Indiana C+. The run-and-shoot blowouts might be more fun, more aesthetically pleasing, but it's good for the Illini to have this type of grinded-out victory in their bag of tricks. The Big Ten might be trending more toward high-powered, efficient offenses this season, but games like Saturday's against Indiana won't ever go completely out of style. Plus, going 4-3 in rugged December beats the alternative for Illinois. And that's all the time we have for today. This has been Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, December 27th, 2020. And I look forward to reading with you again soon.